Hello and welcome back to Next 2.0 on WQLN, brought to you by WQLN NPR, produced by the Public's Voice Media. I am your host, Marcus Atkinson, with guest voice, Mark Blunt. If you want to know more about Next 2.0, you can go to Facebook and like the page, share the page, talk about it over the water cooler at work, talk about it when you're gathering with your friends. You can follow us on Instagram at Next 2.0 Erie. There you can keep up with upcoming shows, promos, events, and clips about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Thank you so much for tuning in. Snowfall is arguably one of the best series that has been released to date. It premiered on July 5th, 2017 on the FX television network, and it just recently ended on April 19th, 2023. The series was created by John Singleton, Eric Amadio, and David Andron, and the show gained a dedicated fan base, and it received critical acclaim for its compelling storytelling and authentic portrayal of the crack epidemic in 1980s Los Angeles. The ensemble cast, led by actor Damson Idris, who played Franklin Saint, had a vivid depiction of the era's socio-political landscape, to include the CIA funneling drugs into inner city Los Angeles. This contributed to its widespread appeal. The question we pose on today's show is very simple. Is the premise of this series, especially about the part with the CIA funneling drugs into the inner city, is the premise of this series based loosely on the life of real life former drug kingpin, Freeway Ricky Ross, the same Ricky Ross that was interviewed on this network several years ago? Joining us today will be recording artist Mercury Moon as we listen to Freeway's own words from a 2022 interview with podcaster Bootleg Kev, and he talks about Snowfall, the CIA, and whether or not his life was depicted in this epic drama. You don't want to miss this today on Next 2.0. So one of my favorite series in recent times is Snowfall on FX. And so joining me today to talk about the series is my main man, Mark Blunt. Mark, thank you for coming on.
Hey, what's up?
And I have artist Mercury Moon. Mercury, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, what's happening? Thanks for having me.
And when I say artist, I mean music artist. I mean, this young man is a musician extraordinaire, yeah, with the lyrics.
I do what I can when I can.
So the FX series Snowfall, listen, man, this thing dropped in 2007. You had 6 seasons, 10 episodes per season, the rise, and I want to say the fall, but we'll figure out how you feel about that, of Franklin Saint. Man, I know that the theme of the show is Snowfall, fact or fiction, and obviously the point of the show is to let you see this is everything but fiction. There's some fictional aspects to it, but this is based on a real person's real life situation.
Yes.
And everything surrounding that is just the furthest thing from cool. We want to unpack that. But first of all, let me start with the obvious. How did this show land on y'all radar? And what did you think when you started watching it?
Well, I started reading about it at first when John Singleton was bringing it up. And then watching the marketing for the show, I found the curiosity of it. And then also reading the newspaper story of where this all kind of came from.
Mm. What about you, Mercury? When did it fall on your radar?
A lot of my peers were talking about it online, social medias and stuff like that. And I was late to the party. But once I actually tapped in, I was like, this is one of those ones.
Man, I tell you what I was digging about it is there's a couple of things that people think are just like, I want to say these imaginary narratives, old wives' tales. There's one that's that the music industry was on purpose, and there was a, you know, NWA was just the outpouring of this letter that was circulated from these industry insiders. That's kind of an urban legend.
91.
That's an urban legend. And a lot of people think that it's an urban legend that the government funneled drugs into the inner city community. I love the fact that this laid bare. That ain't just hype. That actually happened.
That's a fact. Yeah, it went deep into that. I'm surprised they like got away with it.
Exactly. And the thing about it is, I want to do this show. And I interviewed Freeway Rick Ross on my show several years ago. I actually brought him here to the the home of Next 2.0 Erie, Pennsylvania, and he came and he spoke and it was live. I extracted an interview that he did recently, and I want to play clips of that because when you tell people that this was real, it kind of falls on deaf ears. And the fact that it's not being publicized, I think, is intentional, because you don't want the government, the people, to know for a fact that this is one proven case where the government actually funneled dope into the hood.
It's not a conspiracy theory.
Yes.
Yeah. Conspiracy theory. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that I'm excited about, you know, because knowledge is power. And I know when it comes to just what our government is capable of, people don't want to hear it. And again, some of these things just kind of fall on deaf ears. But the show itself, I think that in the beginning, I ain't gonna lie to you, I wasn't sold on Damson Idris being chosen as Franklin Saint. I didn't see it. I'm watching it develop. I'm like, okay, it's starting to grow on me. And over time, I'm like, all right, I kind of get what they're doing with the character. I like the character arc.
I love that. It's character development.
Yeah.
I loved the casting. I must admit, though, there was one scene that caused me to boycott the show just for a minute. And then I came back and fell in love with the show all over again. And that was the scene where they were trying to get a number or a safe code from a guy, and how they got it, I thought that was a little bit over the top.
I know a scene, Tom. I knew you were going to go. Yeah, that's the one.
Unpack that. Refresh my memory, man.
I think Leon said he's not giving it to him. He's giving it to him.
Yeah.
I said, here go Hollywood again. Who came up with that?
So they took a page. They took a page out of, what was that? One Deliverance.
Yes. Squeal.
Right. And what was the other one, man, with John Travolta?
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
So I was like, here we go again with this. Who thinks up this?
Yeah.
So that kind of turned me off of the show for a minute. But I came back, and the story writing was on point from then on, I had to say.
What you think about the role of, I love his uncle, right?
Love Rome.
And Uncle Rome was the bomb, you know. What you think about his role and his mother's role?
Captured the times on point. I felt like I was in that era. To capture he was a veteran. And to capture that conflict of being a black man, a veteran, and knowing somewhat conscious, somewhat I'm trapped, and I'm in this world of the opportunities is not there, so I gotta create my own opportunity, but I have my dreams. And so that I just thought was on point. The mom, I thought she played it. I was a little frustrated with her at the end, but nevertheless, I just thought everybody played their role in that movie, in that series.
Oh man, the way the show ended, man. I mean, that was classic. Controversial.
even the music, man. I just wish Curtis Mayfield was alive or Isaac Hayes to end it with the theme, but I just thought it was classic.
Man. Oh man, so did I. So did yeah. I.
I felt like you said, he didn't want to do the things he had to do, but with his circumstances and environment they were in, he had to do what he had to do. Also, it's one of those fatal tales of giving your love to the wrong person.
Say more about that.
He loved this woman that he, to me, shouldn't have been in love with. Man. Ended up getting him killed.
Well, you know what? The thing about that character, I'm a big fan of House of Cards. Right, Kevin Spacey. And when I first started watching that, I said the only person I could see, because, you know, Frank Underwood was such a formidable character in that show, I said the only person I could actually see bringing him down is his wife, and that's
what happened,
how it went down. So it's a cautionary tale for sure.
It's definitely that. And then also it definitely showed the impact that crack or those drugs had on us. When another classic scene I like, when he told Leon it could be his girl, you know. Yeah. He thought it could only be Wanda. Wanda's the crackhead. It's the only one that affects those type of people, not my girl.
Yeah.
And then when his girl fell, it was just classic. They did, the director, Singletary or whoever, did a great job at capturing that moment.
You know, I'm glad you said that, man, because the actress Gail Bean played the role of Wanda Simmons.
I love Gail.
Oh, man.
The redemption of that character was awesome. Man,
her character arc was the bomb. Here's something that I didn't know, and maybe y'all did, They said in March of 2023, a spinoff series starring Gail Bean reprising her role of Wanda Simmons is reported to be in early development.
Yes.
So she gets the spinoff.
That's awesome for her. I like that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Strong character. She's good. Every character in here was pretty much strong. Mm-hmm. I will say that.
And they all can act. Yes. Like, it was really well done.
Yeah. Really well done. Yeah, I agree with that completely.
And it wasn't stereotypical. I mean, I don't even think they glamorized the drug life per se. I know you've seen the money in it, and I know they had to make it entertaining, but the classic downfall, man, was just, that's how it usually ends up. A lot of people don't understand that part. They see the success, I guess, if you want to, I want to use Jay-Z, and everybody wants to say, like, that's how it goes. Like, you could blow up like that. But then there's a cost to this thing.
Well, the thing with Franklin was, you know the tale, you either end up dead or in jail.
Right.
I think he got the worst of it. He was just insane and just lost out here at the end of it. No soul, no nothing. That's crazy.
Yeah, and that end, you know, and we'll touch on that in a minute, man, because that end, I'm still like, I can see that so many different directions. I feel you on that. The thing that tripped me out was the classic slave and slave master syndrome that his boy got over time from the CIA, Teddy, because Teddy felt like, Negro, you work for me,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And at the same time, you saw Franklin start to develop that attitude with his own people.
Yes. But the classic line for Franklin at the end, I understand that he fell, and I understand the loss of his faculties or his mind, and he had a great fall. But he said it like this, you don't own me, and no one's going to own me.
I'm free.
And I felt that line, man. I mean, like, all that pressure, all that was off. No one. He owed nothing to nobody.
Yeah. I had a homeless dude say that to me one time. He didn't say it in those words, but he, you know, in a roundabout way, like, man, look, I don't see how y'all do it, man. It's too much. You know, it's one thing to say to pay bills. You get everybody wants your money. Everything got all these strings attached to it. He said, I don't have to deal with that. I know y'all look at people like me and y'all feel sorry for us. But I feel sorry for you. I ain't got to deal with none of that no more. Man. Yeah, it's uncomfortable sometimes, but it's too much, man.
He checked out of the circus.
Right.
It's a fact.
And the acting at the end, you felt his panic. When they took his money, you felt it. Just great writing, man. Great writing.
Yeah, that was his Jekyll and Hyde moment.
Oh, definitely.
Well, that brings back to Sissy. She saw exactly what was going on with him. And we could all say, man, you could have waited until he got the password, you know, password, and then popped him. But she didn't want him to have that money.
Yeah.
She saw what it did to him already. She's like, nah, you can't have that.
Yeah, this is true, man. That's why it was kind of interesting, because with her, she watched him. And I've seen this happen in the hood with a whole lot of folks and their parents, their mamas especially, because unfortunately a lot of cats I know from the hood that was hustling, their pops wasn't in the crib. But, you know, I don't like what you're doing. This is dirty money. I may as well get in where I fit in over time, you know, because once that money start coming in, you're like, well, hold on. I need that money. I'm your mom. Then why don't we just figure? And they had like the legit empire going, which also mirrors, you know, that Freeway Rick. We're going to get into how this is not fiction.
Yeah.
You know, and Freeway Rick was in the real estate. So that part of it was derived also from Brother's life.
Yes. I was a little frustrated with the father's role in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he gave up the information or what have you. And I understand that. I do. But I also like how they went to Cuba. And it was just a good storytelling. I mean, storytelling. What I also like, I would say this. Nowadays, we have more acting opportunities, and now we're getting ready to see these type of actors get the opportunity, and it's just not a very small choice of who gets on and who don't get on because of all the Netflix, the FX, all these other avenues. Even now, I guess we got to add Tubi. So you got shows on that. So hats off to these actors that's getting a chance and taking advantage of those opportunities.
I mean, he had his background as a Panther, and this thing was complicated for him for a lot of different reasons. One, he had his own history with the man. The man is funding his son, who is becoming extremely wealthy, and now his son is, you know, funding the shelter that his father was fond of.
And it really turned into a really complicated tale of there's so much gray in the world. It's easy to say Dope Dylan is wrong. You're killing our people. You know, on the surface, that's absolutely true. But there's a lot of subtle nuances throughout that entire journey that once people get to these impasses, it's like, you know what? I felt X. It ain't that easy once I'm faced with the decision.
Well, also, they seen the government's role with the Panthers, and they kind of like hid that. So it's a couple of layers to this story. It's how the government dealt with one generation versus the other generation. Because I believe that his parents was ex-Panthers. And that area, how the Panthers influenced that area of Oakland or in California and the powers that they had and how the government went in there with COINTEL and destroyed it. And the same could be said of a conscious community like Oakland. How do we break this? How do we do this? And you can understand why it's not so illogical or off base to say you flooded with crack, or you turn your head towards it. You turn your head and say we'll allow this to fund something that's happening down in South America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when you look back at just how that whole the Iran-Contra scandal. You know, I'll leave a link in the bio so that you can go check out. I know PBS had its own special on there, and that being, you know, an organization that we're linked with on this show, to go kind of check that out and just see all the inner workings. It was the one thing that, you know, Captain America, Ronald Reagan, it had people looking at them like, really, you too? You know, it was a dirty game. And the fall guy was Freeway Rick Ross when it was all said and done.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know. They got to have the scapegoat. You know, they don't want the real business getting out there, so somebody has to take the blame.
So, yeah. And another one that I think kind of cleaned it up was Oliver North, Colonel Oliver North, because they was in the middle of it. And then you have characters like Noriega. People don't understand the connection to all this. This is just bigger than just South Central.
It was.
This thing was worldwide.
Big business.
It was funded by the CIA. Mm-hmm. And they was, of course they'll deny it now. Of course they'll say, hey, there's no smoking gun. But Rick Ross might be that smoking gun.
Oh, yeah. And the Freedom of Information Act has unleashed a whole lot of documents that have just corroborated the whole thing.
Yes.
I said the fact that this is real has been laid bare. It's out there. The truth is now just that. It's truth. It's no longer, you know, an urban legend. It is what it is. Leon's journey.
Yeah, man.
Leon is to me the poster child for so many cats caught up in the game, because you see the brother has a heart. He loves his people. At the same time, he's trying to make his money, his pilgrimage to Africa, his relationship with Wanda. I love the fact that he never gave up on Wanda, you know, despite it all. You know, what are you thinking as you're watching his journey? Because I felt like I knew Leon best out of all of them when it was all said and done.
Out of him and Rome, those two, I definitely love those characters the most. Leon, he started out as the hothead delinquent, you know, in the jungle doing what he do because he has to do what he has to do. And then his story arc just goes to, you know, the righteous man in the hood. Like, nah, man, we off all that. Like, you can have this. I don't want it no more. I'm going to take my girl. She's good now. We're going to go to Ghana, get married, get our principles in order. And then I didn't like the fact that he want to stay when she was trying to go back to Ghana?
Yeah, he wanted to go back and kind of tie up some loose ends. She was like, nah, I'm not feeling it. That's why she stayed.
Oh, she wanted to stay. Okay.
Yeah, then she did come and she ended up going back.
Okay.
And I think it pulled from the fact that we all know someone like these characters.
Exactly.
And so it's like a lot of times when another culture watches some of our shows or they view someone that we know, and we can say we understand that that's a human being. And it seems like someone else sees just the quote unquote, if you want to call it criminal or you want to say whatever. Mm-hmm. No. I don't believe most of the people are criminal. I just think that with the opportunities that were there, they was exposed to certain things and might have made some bad decisions or something like that. We just get exposed by, and I think it's on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our children have access to things that a lot of other neighborhoods wouldn't have access to.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know what to do with coke. They wouldn't know what to do with somebody. And I would say this. I don't believe it was just coke that was dropped into those neighborhoods. It was guns, too. Mm-hmm. They had access to all these semi-automatics, all these other things that they don't want to talk about. But that's what I believe.
Get them high and let them kill each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That goes back to the Boys in the Hood line from Furious Styles. You know, why is it there's a liquor store on every other corner?
Oh, no.
Why is it a gun shop on every other corner, a pawn shop on every other corner? Why? Because they want us to kill ourselves.
Yeah.
You go out to Beverly Hills, you don't see that. Right? And he was absolutely true, man. But Leon's character, I think, when to go to what you said, though, Mark, I think it had the same effect on us from the inner cities, especially us from the black community, as a similar effect as like our soul food did. Yes. We all saw ourselves in the movie.
Yes.
Everybody saw their grandmother, their auntie. They saw themselves somewhere in that movie.
They saw the dysfunctional family.
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah, and the fact that the family becomes unglued after the matriarch falls, right? It's so many black families were like, man, is that feels personal. And so to me, Snowfall had a similar effect. You know, the rise, especially Mark, with our age, we watched the rise of the crack epidemic in the hood. So as I'm watching this, I'm getting deja vu all over the place. Like, man, I've seen these scenes like play out in our own neighborhoods, you know, over time. And the collateral damage, here's the thing I always say about crack and hustling when hustling first hit. Because when you talk to cats who weren't around at that time, you know, how did y'all not know it was going to have the effect that it did? Because there was no history to compare it to, per se. Folks was getting high already, smoking weed and all this other stuff they was doing. It was getting high off heroin and everything straight out of the war. A lot of them came out addicted. This crack thing, man, we had no idea the collateral damage.
You're absolutely right on that.
You know, and so it's easy to say from the sideline, man, y'all should have known. Nah, I mean, even now as I look at Erie, some of the issues that we deal with now could have never paid me to believe that Erie would, in some areas, start looking like a ghost town, that you would have our young bucks gun at each other down, that it would start reflecting, you know, inner city L.A. and inner city New York in some small ways. But when that drug trade got introduced and the money was being made at the rate that it was being made, and it was as lethal as it was, we thought it was fly when Nino Brown set up the Carter.
Yes.
He had the neighborhood under siege. But in real life, it's like, that ain't cool. Yes.
Nah, not at all.
Yes.
Not at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hollywood makes stuff fly, you know? That's their job. And the government loves to pilot new things in the hood. You know what I mean? Like you said, we didn't know the collateral damage that was going to come from this, but they were willing to see.
Yeah. You know? So. When you fast forward that to today, I mean, this is fact or fiction, Snowfall. And of course, you know, it's largely based on fact. If you remove the image of Freeway Rick Ross, it seems like some otherworldly tale that is just sparked from the brain of somebody using their imagination, but not really. Freeway Rick Ross has an extensive background. Here's this man. I said I brought him in to interview him on WQLN years ago. And here's a man from the South Central area with no formal education per se. Tennis player, wanted to be the next Arthur Ashe, was functionally illiterate, and he runs into this contact that he didn't know was involved with the government, and over time, he starts getting involved in the drug trade. He gets locked up. I'm going to fast forward a little bit to when he gets locked up, and I'm going to tell you how profound this is. Now, Mercury, I know that you're in the hip-hop game, and that's your genre of choice in terms of your art.
Mm-hmm.
His cellmate was Harry O. Mark, I know you're familiar with Harry. I know y'all familiar with
it. Wow. Death Row.
Death Row. Death Row.
That's crazy.
Harry
O. The original Death Row.
The original Death Row. Harry O was the first person to put Denzel Washington on Broadway.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's
produced crazy. The Broadway play that Denzel was in. So Harry O was a businessman, and here he is a cellmate of Freeway Rick Ross. And Harry O was telling him about Dr. Dre and you know, is investing in him. And then Snoop comes along and Rick Ross is like, wait a minute, they about to make some things happen here.
Yeah.
You know, Suge Knight comes in and the rest they say right there is history. But he has this extensive background. But a lot of people don't know that this was based on him. Let me play you a clip a Freeway Rick Ross in this interview that we talked about in my intro. And Freeway talks about his fans' reaction when Snowfall first dropped.
When they aired the first commercials on Snowfall, my fans gave him the blues. Hashtagging John Singleton, Snowfall, I mean FX, all of them. Hey, this is Rick's story. Y'all stole Rick's story.
Is that crazy? When y'all first watched it, did you put it together right away? Wait a minute, man. This is Freeway Rick Ross's story.
By the commercials, I had happened to read the Dark Series or Dark Alliances by Gary Webb. That story about crack flooding the South Central was out there. And this is where Singletary gets a little kind of blurry with, it's not about Rick Ross. Because it's this guy, Gary Webb, that interviews Rick Ross. And is in the movie, it hints at a reporter that breaks the story about the CIA. Yep. And that's Gary Webb. That's the real guy. And so if it wasn't about Rick Ross, what's the chances of, let's say, Franklin have his story being revealed by a reporter, the same as Rick Ross? So obviously, it's a lot of coincidences about it if it's not about Rick Ross.
Rick said... maybe like the first season was like factual, most of it. Mm-hmm. And then he said after that, a lot of it was dramatized.
Yeah, they drifted off into their own storylines.
Made it, you know, they beefed up a little bit.
Exactly. You know? And the other, the fictional components of it mean nothing if not for the backdrop of this extraordinary story of him being involved with the CIA. So the whole house of cards rises or falls on his particular story. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just breaks your heart, because when I talked about this before, when he was on our show, he talked about how Rick, the rapper Rick Ross, stole the persona. He took dude to court. He lost. I'm like, what? How do you not have to pay this man for stealing his entire name?
His likeness.
The whole thing. The whole shebang-a-bang. And you get wealthy off of it and the whole nine. So it's just like, you know, it's almost as if he's continually being punished. He paid his debt to society. But society's like, you know, the powers that be got their minds made up. We ain't going to let you get but so rich off this.
I wonder if Rick Ross ever, like, kicked him back something. Like, yo, they're like.
To this day, man.
Yo, I appreciate.
Yeah. He asked him to break bread. My thing about it is, if you let's just say, let's use a round number, $1 million. And you know good and well, it's based on, I make a song and I know it's based on Mercury's work. And I make $1 million. For me to say, you know what, man, here's 200 stacks. Here's 200 on the love, man. I should have came to you. That's not hurting you, man.
Especially when Rick Ross has taken the stance, the rapper, about Baby and Wayne. Where and Baby and DJ Khaled, where he's saying, like, look, you exploiting them, give them their money. Well, you took a name, bro. You took a name.
Yeah.
So drop that brother some love by taking his name, you know, and like you showed, I guess, Big Meech some love when you was like, you feel like he was Big Meech, but you just dropped the line right there. Mm-hmm. But this right here, you took a man's persona. You took this man's life work, I guess, and embodied it, mm-hmm. and marketed it, and you profited from it. So show him some love.
Mm-hmm. You said in your song, I think I'm Big Meech.
Definitely.
Larry Hoover. And I know Larry Hoover's folks was after him. Like, hey.
Well, he knew better. he knew better. He knew what he could get away with and what he couldn't get away with.
Yeah.
That comes down to.
It is. And the fact that because the powers that be said, hey, man, we say you're not culpable. He took that and ran with it. You keep talking about the code of the street, but you take the gavel and you say, well, the gavel said I don't owe you. Well, what about the code of the street, man?
This industry and world has thrown the code out the window. Yeah. All the fabrication and stuff gets appraisal.
Yeah.
And I think the blueprint might have been out there without us saying it wasn't necessarily like as close to Rick Ross's story, but they say Nino Brown in New Jack City, that's Nicky Barnes.
Exactly. Good
and so
point.
You told the story, but to put it in the right perspective, I think Snowfall should be categorized as American Gangster, because you told Frank Lucas' so-called story, And at least you compensated the man.
Exactly.
You told his story. He was involved with it, and you gave him some money because you just came out and said this is his story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're giving Frank his money, I think that Rick Ross should get something about this because he's being exploited.
Even if you won, I mean, at some point you're like, you know what? I done made all this money. Exactly. All this. Let me go ahead and offer his name. I mean, it's
make sure you're all right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm like, if the code on the street is the brother in the gang or in the drug cartel doesn't snitch and he goes to do that time, the code on the street is I'm putting money on his books, I'm paying his woman and his kids' bills, and I'm putting a knot in his pocket when he get out of jail. There's a code to it. Right? I'm like, there's no code to this. I'm wondering if he gets inspired, though, from watching what P. Diddy is doing with all these masters. See, P. Diddy giving back masters to all his artists.
Yes.
Nah. Marcus shaking his head.
I doubt it, man. These people are greedy, man.
Yeah.
But then they say in that industry anyway, the masters eventually go back. That's why they renegotiate after a certain time. So Diddy had his run with their masters, and it was a good move. You know, I don't know what the date is.
He probably thinking like
he jumped ahead of it. He don't need it, so you know, I'll show him some love and I'll get that good marketing move by Diddy. I think
what is what
or good love.
Good love.
I don't want to shade either. Good love, Diddy.
You saying the contract was up? He didn't really give it away.
And at the end of the day, it's excellent marketing for him. Like you said, I mean, he don't need it. At the end of the day, and that goes back to Freeway Rick Ross. So he launches. You know, he dips his toe in the water with the music industry messing around with Harry O. He gets Anita Baker on a deal.
I know.
Oh, yeah. She ends up going to somebody else that's too expensive to sue her, and the list goes on. But, you know, you go back to Franklin Saint. In this interview with Freeway, he did say that he met Damson Idris.
Yeah.
And he had lunch with the dude. Here's a clip of that.
You Mr. Ross? And I was like, yeah. And, my managers were sitting there, and they was like, that's the guy from Snowfall. And I was like, what? And I was like, sit down. You can sit down. And so he sit down, and we just start talking. He was like, man, I don't know why John ain't got you on the set, and I would do a much better job if I had you around. And, you know, we just went through the little thing. You know, he probably was blowing a little smoke, too, you know.
Of course. Of course. He runs into you, and he's like, hey.
So, but it was a cool conversation. And you know, we just got up after we finished eating, we just got up and we went our separate ways.
So Damson wasn't trying to get capped. He runs into the brother. He said, let me pay homage. But it goes back into the evidence locker of, is this fact or fiction? Obviously, you got the main character on Snowfall acknowledging, yeah, man, I know this is you. You should be on set and blah, blah, blah with his own mouth. So we don't want to hear, is it really based on his life or is it not? You know, and so that to me goes into the evidence side.
It was based.
If it wasn't based on his life, it definitely was based off of his hustle. So there could be a slight difference, but pay that man his money. Show him some love and include him in the show or give him some of that residual deal.
Yeah, and so the question always comes up is how much did... Like at what point did you find out that this man was CIA? And he addresses that in the interview as well, because I was wondering about that. I mean, this dude, the brother did a good job interviewing him, and there's been so many different things developing. One of the things he pointed out in this also is that FX has contacted him and said he wanted to talk.
They ran out of steam. They ran out of story, and it was getting wild, you know? And I guess he said they tried to contact him to bring him onto the show, and he was like, "Nah, I'm cool."
Yeah, yeah. He wants to talk about that bread. I understand that.
Also, too, probably is like, "I'm y'all slighted me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm cool. Y'all gonna crash and burn by yourself? I'm not about to save y'all."
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think cutting the check before he gets in court and do what he do is the smart move. Mm-hmm. I think
this was his take on. Him finding out that this dude was in the CIA and whether or not he knew ahead of time.
When Gary Webb broke the story is when I found out that the guy I've been getting my drugs from was a CIA operative. He wasn't the main guy all along, but you know, in the drug business, there's probably three or four guys in between.
There is.
So you have to work your way through each level of participants in order to get to the top honcho.
I can only imagine his thoughts when that story got to him.
Mm-hmm.
like, oh shit.
Yeah. he started talking about all of these politicians showing up at his jail cell. And he like, what in the world is going on here? And then he started researching the news and like, wait a minute, what? That must be an otherworldly feeling to know that this international scandal under the presidency of arguably the most popular conservative president of all time, you are in the middle of this and have no idea. That must have been a crazy feeling.
He had no idea. And then understand this, when people say it's far-fetched or how that can happen, you have to understand what's called plausible deniability.
There it is.
And that means where the government can't, of course they're not going to admit it. They're not going to come out, even with the Freedom of Information Act, you got to understand this wasn't out at that time. But at the same time, when you start talking about things like COINTEL and things like the Tuskegee experiment, these things were denied when they were first brought up. It took a break-in. It took a break-in in Pennsylvania to find out about COINTEL. And then they didn't even know what they had until they read the papers. And they said, wait a minute, look at what we had. Because the government wouldn't acknowledge what they was trying to do with King. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't acknowledge what they did. They assassinated Fred Hampton.
Yes, they did.
They assassinated that man. So to say they wouldn't sell drugs, that why is that so far-fetched? You know, so I kind of like laugh at that. And I'm not one to really buy in conspiracy theories. I think they want you to think that it's a conspiracy
exactly.
theory so that you won't understand the realness of this.
They coined that term to make people seem like they're crazy when they're talking truth to people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But once your eyes start opening, it's like, oh, that ain't a conspiracy theory. This is happening.
And I like how the young brother just said, once your eyes open, because understand now how the attack on, what does that really mean? Woke.
Right.
Understand now woke, how woke has become a word, an anti-word, mm-hmm. or the right, how they're attacking. And what does woke mean? It means your eyes is open. You understand what's going on.
Around
the people
you.
Are being informed. So what do? You destroy it. Mm-hmm. You villainize it. You demonize this term that's empowering African Americans, it's empowering women, and it's making folks conscious.
This goes into the hidden in plain sight argument. I go back to Will Smith's movie, Enemy of the State. I remember when they were chasing him and they were watching the little dot who was Will Smith because he had the tracker on him. And everybody's like, man, that is slick, man. They watching this every move. We now use it, the technology in our cars, to find out where we going.
Listen, they put these things in these shows and movies out there so they can say, we told you so.
Hidden in plain sight. Yeah. The pre-crimes movie with the Minority Report with Tom Cruise. When they broke out the images on the glass, he put the slick little gloves on, and the image, he would retract the image with his fingers, extract the image, and then push the image to the side with his finger on the little piece of glass.
That was before it even happened.
And now we do it on our phones.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah.
50 times an hour.
Yep.
So it's hidden in plain sight. So to kind of go with the conspiracy thing, it's real fly how, you know, we talk about movies, The Usual Suspect. Kaiser Soze was there the whole time.
Oh, the whole time.
them putting these things in these movies and shows is kind of like their the surgeon warning on a cigarette pack.
Yeah.
We told you.
Definitely.
And you smoked it anyway.
Yeah.
And now when you get cancer, you can't say we didn't tell you. We told you. But now this is where it really gets, you know, heartbreaking. And I'm gonna head toward the finish line with this thought process. You know, Snowfall, fact or fiction? I think that you are getting the point very vividly that this is a fact. At least the premise of the show is, of course, creative liberties are also always a part of some sort of work. When it comes to Hollywood, that just comes with the program. I mean, you got the folks who, you know, that Mr. Clark from Lean On Me, he was like, some of that wasn't really true. And then you got Michael Orr from The Blind Side. He like, oh, a handful of that wasn't really true. We know people take liberties. But the premise of this show was undoubtedly based on Snowfall. But now there's something to be said on winners and losers economically being chosen? Who's allowed to profit to what extent? Who's not allowed to profit to what extent? Listen to Freeway's take on life afterwards throughout all of this when it comes to making money and being black in his situation.
It's something about, you know, being black in America, mm-hmm. where they like to promote negative stuff about us.
That's true. And then also just the
you know, it even baffles me when I went to jail, you know, I made every news channel in the country. Nightline, Dateline, 20, 60 Minutes. Well, I've been out. I spoke at Stanford University, Yale.
That's not on Dateline. That's not on 2020. Yeah, they're not. They
haven't said nothing about it.
Of course not. Yeah, I mean, it's the same way that, like.
And for me, I'm like, you got a guy that was illiterate. Now he's getting paid to talk at Stanford University, USC Law School, UCLA. I mean, if that ain't some amazing shit.
What is?
What is?
And I got it on that. I have to go to Oliver North. Mark, you brought him up earlier. I'm looking up all of this stuff, man. Oliver North, as of right now, the net worth of Freeway Rick Ross is roughly $1 million. And some may say, man, that's the bomb. Not when you look at the fact that Rick Ross, you know, the Rick Ross, the rapper, whose net worth is $150 million, right? When you look at the fact that Oliver North, whose net worth is now $10 million. But here's the thing I want to really point out, because it is so fascinating how some demographics, and let's be explicit, especially in this country, the white male image, despite any sins committed, is redeemable. He hosted a talk show on Radio America from 95 to 2003. He hosted War Stories with Oliver North on Fox News from 2001 to 2016. On May 2018, North was elected as president of the National Rifle Association, the powerful NRA. And when he ran unsuccessfully against Chuck Robb for the U.S. Senate in 1994, he raised $20.3 million in a single year for that campaign. And so he has been a money-making machine, although he was at the epicenter of this failure of the Reagan administration. He got convicted, and then it was let go over what they said was a tainted, you know, witness or what have you. You got Rick Ross, the rapper, making all this money. You got Freeway just plugging along, trying to make it happen.
Who sold close to $1 billion.
Absolutely.
In that business.
Absolutely. Upwards of $900 million. Very accurate.
That's crazy.
And just imagine this, because you, what you're saying is the disparities between black skin and white skin and how we treat it, how we allow to profit, the boxes that we're put in versus the freedom that they have. If you can't believe that this was allowed, understand this. The heroin epidemic, the crack epidemic, I want you to see the response to it and how it prevails. Whereas right now we're dealing with the fentanyl issue. Mm-hmm. And you actually have politicians saying, let's go send the military down there to get the fields. Let's go after the narcs. You never heard that before. Why? Because there are white kids out there dying
from
by the landslide. Mm-hmm. So much so that we have to carry cans of narcan.
Talk about that.
The sympathy, the talk empathy that. Of that. Or whatever. I just want you to see the difference of the two. They have a problem. Understand, when you see a meth house, it's destroyed immediately. It's raided. A crack house, let's watch it for like 10 years.
Right.
Let's watch it for 10 years. A meth house destroyed immediately. Immediately.
And that's because the customer that they serve does not look like you,
know
you
what
and
it
I.
Is. You know what it
it's
is.
It's an experiment. They call it the projects for a reason.
A sister once said, I believe it was Sojourner Truth, said, ain't I a woman? Well, my question is, ain't I a human?
Yeah.
Because if it's on the same scale, I want the same empathy. I want the same opportunities. I want the same. I don't want no different. I don't want anything else. I just want the same.
You know what? This is the public's voice. The voice of the public has been on this topic in barbershops, beauty salons, family cookouts for years. These conspiracy theories and these urban legends, and I'm throwing up air quotes as I say that, you know, it's we are not too long ago we passed the memorial of 9/11. Horrific event. Let me be completely clear about that. And when society says, let us never forget, I'm in agreement with that. When we say, let us never forget about the Holocaust, I'm in agreement with that. When we say, never forget about slavery, oh my God, can you get over it already? Do you have to bring this up every single time? And that sounds laughable, but hopefully that this, us saying that.
It's true though.
It's so true. Is landing on fertile ground and not deaf ears, because I want you to see just what a stark contrast that is. Never forget. And we go live every single city, to include this one, memorializing those victims of 9/11, and they should. Let me be clear about that. I don't want you writing WQLN, don't write the public. They should. But boy, oh boy, when you say don't forget about what happened to black folks, stand with, when they say stand with, Russia and
Ukraine.
When they say stand with Ukraine, heaven forbid somebody say stand with Haiti for a change.
Yeah, you can't say that.
You know, and so it's just the freeway Rick Ross is just another example of the American journey of black folks, black men in particular. And when it's wrapped around such absurd circumstances. One of the things I appreciate about the age of hypermedia now, when you can just kind of tickle your phone and find out just about anything, you'd have never believed.
No.
That was, and some of you are watching Snowfall and you're still like, boy, what an incredible story. That was, what a great story.
Hollywood is good.
Yes. And it is good because in this particular instance, it's real. So, Snowfall. Fact or fiction? Final verdict?
It's a fact.
I believe there's some truth to that.
Yeah. What's the cautionary tale, man? When we, as we wrap this up, when you look at Snowfall, you look at the effects that it's had in its popularity, but when you think about the circumstances within Snowfall and the effects that it have on community, and you know the police community relations are still a hot button topic. What message do you want people to take away when they're watching this and being entertained by it? Mercury, we'll start with you and we'll let Mark get the final word.
Basically, one of the things, if things are going so good for you, peek behind that curtain once or twice periodically to make sure things like what's going on, that what happened in Snowfall, what happened in U.S. history isn't really happening, you know what I mean? And if it is, spread the word about it. You know, not everything is just Hollywood and fiction. Like I say again, a lot of this stuff they're putting in here is to notify you, mm-hmm. just so they can say they did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And let me tease this too. At some point, we want to bring Mercury back. We want to read this the letter that people have heard of as this urban legend from an industry insider, mm-hmm. about the rise of gangster hip hop and how it's been invested in intentionally and why.
You talking about the meeting in 91?
There you go.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Yeah. We want to come in, read the letter, analyze the letter, and look at the patterns of the rise of, you know, gangster hip hop and the rise of private prisons. And I think you'll find some similarities.
I mean, just if you know hip hop history, listen to it. I mean, when hip hop started, they were talking about socially conscious stuff. What was actually going on? They weren't glorifying things that was going on in the hood and projects, things like that. They were actually talking about it and getting people to know, hey, we need help in these communities, things like that. Fast forward to the 90s, everybody getting shot up, drugs, you know what I mean? It's like, what happened?
Yeah, you can't get a deal unless you're talking about, you know, the N-word and you're talking about locking folk up and I hustled. And a lot of times folks ain't even coming from that background, but they glorifying it. So teasing that one out, that's going to be a whole show unto itself. We'll bring Mercury back.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
Get another young buck at this extra mic at the table. We got to chop that one up. Mark, when people watch Snowfall, what's the thing you want them to take away from this quote-unquote entertainment?
I would say if you know better, do better. I would learn from it. I would say history tends to repeat itself. And we know what the government is capable of doing. We also know they can't do it without us. So we bear some responsibility in this. And I just hope that we wouldn't repeat some of the things that we've done, because we're in a better position now. We know better now than to fall for that same trap. Mm.
Just from time to time, suspend disbelief.
You know, we talked about Franklin's, some of his final statements, and Mark pointed out how Franklin said simply, "I'm free." And Freeway talked about the way the media likes to portray our imagery, especially us as black men, you know, from a perspective of being fed purposefully a negative and wrong narrative. At some point in media, it'd be great to say, from the vantage point of the viewer, I'm free from you trying to make my mind up for me in terms of how I should view this or that demographic.
For you sisters out there, I think that's the equivalent to I exhaled.
And on that note, thank y'all for joining me for this show.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, sir. Snowfall, Fact or Fiction, it is based on factual circumstances. You don't know those factual circumstances? Check out a couple of the links right now in the bio. Follow them, watch, learn, read. We'll see you next time. Wow, what a great show. As we stated, if you want to hear the entire interview with Freeway Rick Ross on the Bootleg Kev podcast, the link is right below in our comments. And there's also a link right there for the PBS special about the Iran-Contra scandal. There's a lot of moving parts in this story. But when you watch Snowfall on FX, minus this information about Freeway Rick Ross, you think that this is just some sort of idealized fantasy about street life. Hopefully today you learned that there is actually an element of truth to this series that people are enjoying so much on FX. Thank you for tuning in to Next 2.0. Next 2.0 streams every Friday on all major podcast platforms and the fourth Sunday of the month at 4 p.m. on WQLN NPR on 91.3 FM. For Next, I'm your host, Marcus Atkinson. We will see you next time.